This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated, which is dedicated to teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel which is the gospel message of the kingdom of God, which is yet to come. The kingdom is a message that was on the lips of Jesus. He preached about it. He demonstrated what the future would be like through the miracles that he performed during his three-year ministry, and it was just a taste of what is going to be a reality when Jesus himself returns to the earth someday in the near future. I believe we're living in exciting times as you look at the world around you and see the way the world is going, and it's not going to be long before God is going to intervene, and the nations and the people in power will be there because God allows them to be there. And when the time is right, when the time is ready, God is going to send Jesus to back to this earth. And the dead will be raised, the living will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And it's going to be a glorious time as he begins a thousand-year reign. We've been studying for a considerable length of time on the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're coming near to the end of this chapter. And as Paul demonstrates what he is, his message, the gospel to the Corinthians, he is focusing in this 15th chapter on those people who do not believe that resurrection will take place. In verses 35 through verse 50, Paul makes a comparison to what the body is now, to what the body will be when the resurrection occurs. We don't know what we're going to be like exactly. We haven't personally seen, eyeball to eyeball, anyone who is immortal. We can only imagine what it might be like, and we often relate the future to what we know here in this life. But in verses 35 through 50, Paul gives comparisons. For example, in verse 42, he said, "So also is the resurrection of the dead." Speaking of the body, he said, "It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body." Perish means capable of dying. So the body today, we are capable of dying. But after we are raised, after the resurrection, we will have a body that will not be able to die. It will not be able to perish. Verse 43, it says, "It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." Verse 44, "It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. And here's how it had came from. Verse 45, "It is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last man, the last Adam," speaking of Christ, "became a life-giving spirit." God raised Jesus back to life. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. All the while he is buried in the tomb, God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, is still in control of this world and running everything while his son sleeps in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Then the power of God energizes the lifeless body of Jesus. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 that the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that raised Jesus back to life will raise us. Jesus became a life-giving spirit. The difference between God and Jesus prior to the crucifixion is that Jesus was capable of dying. God could not die. That's why he provided Jesus to die in our place. The purpose of Jesus in the plan of God was to be the sacrifice for you and me. We're sinners. Jesus was a human being who had an earthly mother, but a heavenly father. And he remained sinless throughout his life. But Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us that by what he learned, he became perfect. In other words, if you look at that passage closely, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, he became perfect. He wasn't perfect during his three-year ministry because one imperfection that Jesus had was the ability to die. He could get hungry. He became tired. He was capable of dying, and he did die. God cannot die. So in order to have a sacrifice for you and me, God provided Jesus. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says that God demonstrated his love, showed us his love, that while we were still sinners, he provided Jesus to die for us in our place. Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he says that in Matthew chapter 5. He told the Jewish leaders who were on his back about him and about the way he did things and the way he taught. They considered him a radical. And they criticized him continually. But Jesus told the Jewish leaders, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He came to do what the law could not do. The law provided a way for people to have forgiveness of their sins, and that was through animal sacrifice. Sacrifice meaning there needed to be bloodshed. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Jesus died so that you and I could be forgiven by God Almighty. God provided Jesus as a sacrifice in our place. And God placed his stamp of approval. He showed his approval and put a stamp of approval on the sacrifice of Jesus by bringing him back to life. In Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2, and read those chapters, you'll find that Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for the ability, for the purpose of suffering death, but following his resurrection, he was made higher than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is now immortal. God had the ability to give life to Jesus when he was asleep in the tomb. And the same spirit that raised Jesus back to life will raise us. And we see here in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians that Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the first is not spiritual, but natural. Then the spiritual. That's verse 46. You see, you and I are mortal, and we will die. But if we have made the conscious decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and Master, we will live again, because John tells us in John chapter 5, Jesus' words, Behold, marvel not at this. All that are in the tombs will hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to a resurrection of life. They that have done evil to a resurrection of damnation and destruction. That's John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. And I commend these passages to you, for you to look them up, check them out, because I want you to see that this is what the scripture is saying. You read these verses, and you'll see that what I am sharing with you is indeed the truth of the Bible. You are a mortal creature, and all of us, you and me, we are all subject to dying, but we will live again when Jesus returns. Again, in John chapter 11, in the story of Lazarus, Martha and Mary knew, one, their brother Lazarus was dead, but they also declared that he would be raised at the last day. John chapter 6, verse 44 also declares the fact that those who are asleep will be raised. Jesus will raise them up at the last day. We're not at the last day yet. The resurrection has not occurred yet, but it is near. I believe it's not that far away. Now, we don't know the day or the hour. Only God knows the day or the hour. Matthew chapter 24 declares this also. Matthew chapter 24, that only God knows the day of the return. Jesus told his listeners, his disciples, during his earthly ministry, that the angels did not know the day of the return. He himself did not know the day of the return. Only God knew the day of the return. I think that's fascinating. Two separate individuals, God knew the date. Jesus did not know the day. But Jesus is the one that is now a life-giving spirit, because Jesus now has immortality. God raised Jesus back to life and gave Jesus the power to now give life to those that are his, and he will raise the dead when he returns. May God bless you as you continue studying. We'll pick it up here next week on another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow.